Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Thursday. It's July the 13th. It's day 194 in our journey through the Bible. How about that? Well, hey, my friends, my name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take a little time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, today we are continuing on in our journey, my friends, and what a journey it's been. Hey, speaking of journeys, before we jump into today's reading, I'm going to be heading out to the Garden State here at the end of this month. I'll be spending about 5 days in New Jersey. And I can't wait to go and see my friends out there, to hug a few necks, and to enjoy the Jersey Shore, and maybe a little of Rita's Italian Ice while I'm at it. Well, hey, what do you say we jump into something far more substantial? That would be God's Word this morning. We are in the book of Isaiah, chapters 15 through 18, and then we will finish our reading in Hebrews chapter 10. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Isaiah chapter 15. This message came to me concerning Moab. In one night, the town of Ar will be leveled, and the city of Kir will be destroyed. Your people will go to their temple in Dibon to mourn. They will go to their sacred shrines to weep. They will wail for the fate of Nebo and Medeba, shaving their heads in sorrow and cutting off their beards. They will wear burlap as they wander the streets. From every home and public square will come the sound of wailing. The people of Heshbon and Elalah will cry out. Their voices will be heard as far away as Jahaz. The bravest warriors of Moab will cry out in utter terror. They will be helpless with fear. My heart weeps for Moab. Its people flee to Zoar and Eglath Shelishiya. Weeping, they climb the road to Lahuith. Their cries of distress can be heard all along the road to Horonaim. Even the waters of Nimrim are dried up. The grassy banks are scorched. The tender plants are gone. Nothing green remains. The people grab their possessions and carry them across the ravine of willows. A cry of distress echoes through the land of Moab from one end to the other, from Egliam to Beer Eliam. The stream near Dibon runs red with blood, but I am still not finished with Dibon. Lions will hunt down the survivors, both those who try to escape and those who remain behind. Isaiah 16. Send lambs from Selah as tribute to the ruler of the land. Send them through the desert to the mountains of beautiful Zion. The women of Moab are like homeless birds at the shallow crossings of the Arnon River. Help us, they cry. Defend us against our enemies. Protect us from their relentless attack. Do not betray us now that we have escaped. Let our refugees stay among you. Hide them from our enemies until the terror is past. When oppression and destruction have ended and enemy raiders have disappeared, then God will establish one of David's descendants as king. He will rule with mercy and truth. He will always do what is just and be eager to do what is right. We have heard about proud Moab, about its pride and arrogance and rage, but all that boasting has disappeared. The entire land of Moab weeps, yes, everyone in Moab mourns for the cakes of raisins from Kir Hareseth. They are all gone now. The farms of Heshbon are abandoned. The vineyards of Sibmah are deserted. The rulers of the nations have broken down Moab. That beautiful grapevine, its tendrils spread north as far as the town of Jazir and trailed eastward into the wilderness. Its shoots reached so far west that they crossed over the Dead Sea. So now I weep for Jazir and the vineyards of Sibmah. My tears will flow for Heshbon and Elalah. There are no more shouts of joy over your summer fruits and harvests. Gone now is the gladness, gone the joy of the harvest. There will be no singing in the vineyards, no more happy shouts, no treading of the grapes in the winepress. I have ended all their harvest joys. My heart's cry for Moab is like a lament on a harp. I am filled with anguish for Kir Hareseth. The people of Moab will worship at their pagan shrines, but it will do them no good. They will cry to the gods in their temples, but no one will be able to save them. The Lord has already said these things about Moab in the past, but now the Lord says, within 3 years, counting each day, the glory of Moab will be ended. From its greatest population, only a feeble few will be left alive. Isaiah 17. This message came to me concerning Damascus. Look, the city of Damascus will disappear. It will become a heap of ruins. The towns of Aroer will be deserted. Flocks will graze in the streets and lie down undisturbed. No one will chase them away. The fortified towns of Israel will also be destroyed, and the royal power of Damascus will end. All that remains of Syria will share the fate of Israel's departed glory, declares the Lord of Heaven's armies. In that day, Israel's glory will grow dim. Its robust body will waste away. The whole land will look like a grain field after the harvesters have gathered the grain. It will be desolate, like the fields in the valley of Rephaim after the harvest. Only a few of its people will be left. Like stray olives left on a tree after the harvest, only two or three remain at the highest branches. Four or five scattered here and there on the limbs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. Then at last the people will look to their Creator and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will no longer look to their idols for help or worship what their own hands have made. They will never again bow down to their Asherah poles or worship at the pagan shrines they have built. Their largest cities will be like a deserted forest, like the land the Hivites and the Amorites abandoned when the Israelites came here so long ago. It will be utterly desolate. Why? Because you have turned from the God who can save you. You have forgotten the rock who can hide you. So you may plant the finest grapevines and import the most expensive seedlings. They may sprout on the day you set them out. Yes, they may blossom on the very morning you plant them. But you will never pick any of the grapes from them. Your only harvest will be a load of grief and unrelieved pain. Listen! The armies of many nations roar like the roaring of the sea. Hear the thunder of the mighty forces as they rush forward like thundering waves. But though they thunder like breakers on a beach, God will silence them, and they will run away. They will flee like chaff scattered by the wind, like a tumbleweed whirled before a storm. In the evening, Israel waits in terror, but by dawn, its enemies are dead. This is the just reward of those who plunder us, a fitting end for those who destroy us. Isaiah 18. Listen, Ethiopia, land of fluttering sails, that lies at the headwaters of the Nile, that sends ambassadors in swift boats down the river. Go, swift messengers, take a message to a tall, smooth-skinned people who are feared far and wide for their conquest and destruction and whose land is divided by rivers. All you people of the world, everyone who lives on the earth, when I raise my battle flag on the mountain, look. When I blow the ram's horn, listen. For the Lord has told me this. I will watch quietly from my dwelling place, as quietly as the heat rises on a summer day, or as the morning dew forms during the harvest. Even before you begin your attack, while your plans are ripening like grapes, the Lord will cut off your new growth with pruning shears. He will snip off and discard your spreading branches. Your mighty army will be left dead in the fields. For the mountain vultures and wild animals, the vultures will tear at the corpses all summer. The wild animals will gnaw on the bones all winter. At that time, the Lord of Heaven's armies will receive gifts from this land divided by rivers, from this tall, smooth-skinned people who are feared far and wide for their conquest and destruction. They will bring the gifts to Jerusalem, where the Lord of Heaven's armies dwells. Hebrews chapter 10. Christ's sacrifice once for all. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under the system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sin year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings of sin." Then I said, "Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back." He also said, "The Lord will judge his own people." It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that has been promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And now may the faithful one, the one who has made us right before God, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. How's your conscience? Is your conscience clean? Is it free? Have your feelings of guilt disappeared? Or is going to church just a constant and weekly reminder of your shame? Are you haunted by the shadows of your past? If that's the case, then you haven't really understood how good God is and how much Jesus has done for us on the cross. See, God doesn't want your weekly offerings of regret over your past. This is not what he has in mind. No, Jesus says in verse 9, he says, "Look, I have come to do your will, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." And then in verse 12, our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That includes putting his law in our hearts and in our minds and giving us his very spirit to dwell in us and to cleanse our consciences from the torments of guilt. Did you catch that? Verse 22 says that Christ's death for us has cleansed us from our past, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. See, that's how amazing Jesus is, how good the gospel is. We no longer need to be tormented by our past. You are fully clean, Christian. Even your conscience can be clean. You no longer need to be tormented by your past. Elsewhere, Paul put it like this. He said, "I focus on one thing, forgetting the past. Looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on." See, he can forget the past because Christ has freed him from his past by the shedding of his blood. And Christian, he has done the same for you. How's your conscience? Is it clean? Well, it can be. Are you free? Well, you can be. Simply by trusting in him, looking to him, doing what Paul said. "I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on toward the goal of the upward prize of God in Christ. And he is our prize, and he's done it for us, what we could never do on our own." Are you tired of coming to church week after week to offer your sacrifices of regret? Well, you don't need to do that anymore. Christ has shed his blood for us once for all time. And that, my friend, is more than enough. And the prayer for my heart today is that I will walk in the liberty and the joy of a conscience free and clean because of what he has done. And that's the prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we're hanging our hat out here on the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it, will you, and let a brother know. Hey, speaking of folks that have taken a moment, I want to send a shout out to Amber Kramer Jones, to Joel Obikawe, and to Nate Stearns, and to Carolyn Smith. And to all of you, as a matter of fact, I can't believe that I get to do this, that I get to connect with brothers and sisters all around the world on this amazing journey through the Bible. Unbelievable. Well, hey, if you would like to connect in a journey through the Bible by actually going to the land of the Bible, in April of 2018. I would love to have you join me. You can find out information by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the link there for our upcoming trip to the Holy Land. You can actually begin the registration process even now. Get your seat on the bus, Gus. This journey through the Holy Land is a journey to remember, no doubt about that. Unbelievable. You will never read the Bible again the same. This is our third trip, and people go for various reasons, but let me tell you this. You will encounter His Word, and you will encounter the Gospel in ways that you have never even fathomed before. So check it out. 2018 Holy Land Tour. Hey, let me also ask you to do this. Share the app with your friends. There are people out there that are hungry for the Word of God. And this app, this community, is all about coming alongside people and taking that journey with them. And you play a big part in that simply by sharing it with others. It's free, and we love for it to be in the hands of more and more people, boys and girls, men and women. Let's share this app. And last of all, if you will go and give us a review at the iTunes Store and or Google Play, man, that is a real solid for us. Simply go there and rate, subscribe, review, and that really serves us well in helping to get the word out about this little ministry. Well, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. Let's go forward with a clean conscience because Christ has done that for us. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.